I'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. I would like to read from Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 12 and reading through verse 17. Galatians chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. Before we begin to endeavor to study from God's holy word, I would ask you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who spoke this world into existence and the only one that can bring it to a close. We're thankful that we know that all things are in thy hands. Yes. We're thankful that we have confidence in thee, that you've given us faith to be able to believe in thee and to believe thee. To be able to trust in thee. And we pray that you would help all of those who are here tonight, the various problems and troubles and different circumstances and conditions. We pray that you would bless each one to exercise their faith, to trust in the Lord with all their heart and not lean to our own understanding. We pray that you would bless those who have special burdens and problems, bless those who are sick and afflicted. We pray that thou, as the great physician, would touch them, heal them and lift them up and bless their families as they try to take care of them. We continue to beg thy blessings on those who have lost loved ones, that you would comfort their hearts and give them a special measure of thy grace. Pray that you would bless the families who are having trouble, that you would help and bless as you alone are able to do. Lord, we pray now that as we begin to study thy holy word, that thy spirit would be our teacher. Thou hast taught us as we studied this morning that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. And so we come tonight asking Thee to fill us all with the Spirit of God. For without Thy help and without Thy blessings, all of our efforts and labors are in vain. So bless us now and help us as we try to study the Word of God. We pray in the precious and holy name of our Lord and Savior, our elder brother, the King of kings and Lord of lords, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 12. The Word of God says, "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." If correctly read, that's Galatians chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. One of the main things the Apostle Paul is talking about in this passage of Scripture is that there were many Jews, even those who said that they believed that Jesus was the Christ, there were many Jews who still were saying that you had to be circumcised. And Paul is saying, making it very clear that being circumcised or not being circumcised is not the issue and not the question. The main thing is whether or not we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I want you to notice verse 17. This is the main thing that's on my heart. Verse 17, he says, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." I want us to think about that, not that last expression in verse 17 tonight, where he says, "For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." And I want us to think about, what are the marks of the Lord Jesus? First of all, I want to tell you what I do not believe it is. I want to tell you what those marks are not. And he's been talking about that earlier He's saying they are not the marks of circumcision. Circumcision, there were marks left as a result of circumcision, and he is not saying that he bears in his body the marks of circumcision. Nor is he talking about the marks that were in the physical body of Jesus Christ. When you think about the marks that were in his hands and in his feet, and the marks that were a result of the crown of thorns on his head. He was not saying, I have nail holes in my hands and nail holes in my feet and the marks of thorns in my head. And yet he's saying, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to ask all of you to pray that God will help us to understand what are the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ are those characteristics which would identify us as being a Christian or a disciple of Jesus Christ. I believe that the Apostle Paul was saying, you do not identify me as a true Christian by some outward marks or physical marks, but there are marks whereby you can identify a true Christian. Sometimes when we meet people, we see the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ in their body. We recognize when we meet them. We recognize when we see them, I see the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can look at them and we can identify and say, now that is a true disciple of Jesus Christ because of the marks that we see in their lives. We can identify them as a true soldier of Jesus Christ because of the marks of Jesus Christ that are in their life. You know, a soldier has identifying marks. Whenever they go into battle, at least in recent years, in the past century and century and a half, when people would go into battles, you could identify which side the soldiers were on by the outward appearance or marks or clothing that they wore. There are some armies that would wear one kind of clothing and the other armies would wear a different kind of clothing. And yet it's not the outward clothing or the outward appearance that we identify people as being those who are true Christians. What would you say are the true marks of a Christian or being a disciple of Jesus Christ? What do you think Paul meant when he says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe that the first and foremost, I believe that there is one mark that more than anything else will identify you as having the mark of Jesus Christ in your life. What would you say that one is? Love. That's exactly right. The mark of love. Because if we do not have that mark, if people cannot see and identify that love is a major part of our lives, if the mark of love is not recognized, then we are not a Christian. Jesus makes this statement. He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. How can you mark a person and say, I know he's a disciple of Jesus Christ? It's if he has the mark of love. I met a man this past week, and I don't know of anyone that I've met recently that in any more ways in his life I have seen the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man was the most giving man, the most unselfish man, the greatest servant, the one that was willing to do anything. Though I was a stranger to him, he was willing to do anything and everything to help me. He was willing to manifest tremendous amount of love. He made sacrifices for me. He did all kinds of things, and it wasn't just for me, but I watched him over a 2 or 3 day period that this individual did it towards everybody, that he manifested a tremendous amount of love. And though I had never met him before, I'll tell you, brethren, that man has the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ in his body. He has the clear identifying marks that he is a soldier of Jesus Christ, that he's a servant of Jesus Christ, that he is a disciple of Jesus Christ. He is an unselfish person. He's full of love. You remember how when they asked Jesus, now, what's the first and great commandment? Jesus said, the first and great commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, this man did not have on a lapel pin that said, I'm a Christian. Did you know that? No identifying mark like that. He didn't have a cross on. He didn't have anything physical as far as a charm or a lapel pin or anything that would say, I'm a Christian. And yet the first 10 minutes that I saw him, the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ were seen in his life. And I think that's the way it was beyond any shadow of a doubt with the Apostle Paul when he says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Paul had physical marks because of beatings that he had suffered as a result of being a Christian. But again, that was not the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that the number one way that you can identify a true Christian is if they have a tremendous amount of love. Love for God and love for one another. Love for the people of God. We know, John says, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. I think that love for God, love for our neighbor, love for the brethren. The scripture says, let brotherly love continue. Love is the number one identifying mark of a true Christian. And without that one mark, no other marks are of any value. I think 1 Corinthians 13 makes that clear, that it doesn't matter what else you have, if the mark of love is not evident in your life, if love is not abounding, if charity is not abounding in your life, then you are not and I am not a Christian if love is not tremendously manifest. Not only loving God, not only loving our neighbor, not only loving the brethren, not only loving our family, but even loving our enemies. I want you to think about that, to love our enemies. Can you think of anyone other than the Apostle Paul, other than Jesus Christ, can you think of anyone that you know that the mark of loving his enemies was in his body? Who is somebody in the Bible that you know that the mark of loving his enemies was in his body? Okay, Elisha, Stephen. Stephen was the one I was thinking about. That while Stephen was being stoned to death, what did he do? He prayed for his enemies. Now when Stephen was being stoned to death, were the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life? Were there physical marks? And yet that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about marks that are a result of stones or beatings or anything like that. We're talking about clear characteristics that prove and show the inward characteristics of Jesus Christ, the spiritual characteristics of Jesus Christ. Stephen loved his enemies. He had the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. Do we have the marks of the Lord Jesus? Can we say, here's what Paul said in Galatians 6:17. He says, let no man trouble me. In other words, don't bother me with anything else, because I have the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ in my body. I have in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Were there people that were bothering Paul about whether or not he was really a Christian? Were the people that were denying whether or not Paul was a Christian? Were there Jews that denied that Paul was a Christian? Were there Gentiles that denied that Paul was a Christian? What's Paul saying? Paul's saying it doesn't matter whether my name is on a church roll or whether it's not. Doesn't matter whether anything else that you want to say. I'm telling you, I have the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ in my body. And are those marks in our bodies? Can you honestly, truthfully say that the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ are in your body? Besides the mark of love, what would be another mark that would be in your body? Well, Jesus makes this statement. I want you to back up in your Bibles just a moment to John chapter 15. We just read from or quoted from John chapter 13, where Jesus said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. What's a disciple of Jesus Christ? A follower of Christ. Now, if somebody is a follower of Christ, can you see the marks of a follower of Jesus Christ? I believe that you can. And again, it's not going to be something that they wear or something that they use in some kind of formal way to declare that they're a Christian, but it's just going to be the characteristics of Jesus Christ are going to be manifest in their bodies. In John 13:35, he makes it clear that love is one of the most outstanding, if not the most outstanding, characteristic of a disciple. One of the greatest marks of a Christian is that he loves. But then in John chapter 15, John 15 in verse 8, he says, "Herein is my Father glorified." Isn't that what Jesus' whole life was about? Was to glorify the Father? Isn't that what his desire was? Was to glorify the Father? He says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Have you seen people that just the fruit of the Spirit of God just poured out of their lives? Now, when anyone is bearing much fruit in their lives, they bear in their body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. If someone is loving, does that prove that they have the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. But if somebody is bearing much fruit, is that another way that, you see, he doesn't say, "I bear in my body the mark," singular, "of the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ." One of those marks is the mark of love. Another mark that is identifiable in true Christians is that they will be bearing much fruit. Not just a little fruit, but bearing much fruit. They'll be bringing forth fruit to perfection in their lives to glorify who? To glorify God, to glorify the Father. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." And there are a lot of different ways that you can bear fruit. I'm not going to go into all of that. But I just want you to remember one mark of a true Christian, one mark that we ought to have in our bodies is the mark of love. The second one is that we bear much fruit. And I want you to back up to Matthew chapter 16. I want you to look at a third mark of being a true Christian. Well, but let's stop first in Luke. Look at Luke chapter 14. There's a mark that's mentioned here in Luke chapter 14 and verse 33. Luke chapter 14 and verse 33. When you think about loving, that was the first thing that we talked about. You think about sacrificing, don't you? Giving up things. Have you ever seen anybody that was just so always willing to just give, just give you anything? That anything you asked for, they just wanted to give it to you. Just give it to you. Teresa's father-in-law, Paul Patterson, was the most giving man that I've ever known in my life. He spent a lot of money raising bees and honey. And he had a sign in front of his house, "Honey for sale." And most people that came by there, he would say, "Just take it, just take it. You don't need to pay me for that." And they would come and they'd want to buy one jar. Well, he'd give them two or three jars, or he'd give them whatever he had. He would just give anybody and everything and everybody anything they wanted. There were many people that took advantage of him. His wife got very upset with him, and I got upset with him sometimes. I said, "Paul, you just let anybody and everybody, people that don't deserve help, you let them take advantage of you." And he said, "It's all right. God will take care of it." He just always was a giving, charitable man. Full of love, full of giving. Giving and making sacrifices to help other people. And the Spirit of Christ, the marks of Jesus Christ were seen in his body. Look now at Luke chapter 14 and verse 33. Luke chapter 14, verse 33. Jesus says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Are there some things you want to hold on to and not willing to give up in order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are there many times in our lives that we're not really willing to give up everything? But Jesus says, if you're not willing to forsake all things, if you're not willing to forsake everything, you can't be a disciple. What is another identifying mark of one who has the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's people that are willing to make sacrifices. What kind of sacrifice did Jesus make? though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Now, Jesus made all kinds of sacrifices in his life, and if we're going to be a true Christian, we're going to have that as a mark in our lives, that we're willing to give up anything and everything in order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Christ, have the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Go with me back to Matthew chapter 3 just a moment. Matthew chapter 3 was water baptism a mark of the Lord Jesus Christ? Was water baptism a mark of the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe that it was. I believe that when he went to John the Baptist and he went to be baptized of him, and John said, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Father was pleased with Jesus Christ. This is one of two occasions that we know of in the Scriptures where God spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, water baptism is another mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I bear the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ in my body, I'm not only going to be loving, and I'm not only going to be making sacrifices and bearing much fruit, but if I am a disciple of Christ, I will follow Christ in water baptism. When Philip began to preach to the eunuch, and as he finished preaching about Jesus Christ, and they came to water, Philip said, or the eunuch said, now, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Why did the eunuch want to be baptized? Was it because he thought that he had to be baptized in order to go to heaven when he died? Not at all. But what did he want to do? He wanted to bear in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. If his Savior was baptized, he wanted to follow the example of Jesus, and he wanted to bear in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone who wants to bear in their body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ will submit to water baptism. Yeah. I do not understand anybody who claims to be a Christian that does not submit to water baptism. Yeah. It's something that God's Word teaches. Yeah. If you love Jesus, you'll want to be baptized. Yeah. So water baptism is something that Paul did and Paul experienced, and every Christian, every true Christian will experience water baptism, because that's something that God's Word teaches is an identifying mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. What was the next thing after Jesus was baptized here in Matthew chapter 3? What was the next thing that he experienced? Matthew chapter 4, after he was baptized, what was the next thing that Jesus experienced? Right after water baptism, right after the Father spoke from heaven and said, now, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, what was the next thing that happened? He began to be tempted of the devil. Every true Christian will be tempted by the devil and be tempted in many ways. And it's not that we're tempted that identifies us as having the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ, but if we endure the temptation and if we overcome the temptation, that's what is a mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, when he was tempted, never yielded to temptation. And when we overcome temptation in our lives, when the devil tempts us, and we do not yield to temptation, and we overcome that temptation, we then are bearing in our body another mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we can say to Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. We can say to Satan, we can quote Scripture and tell Satan every time he tempts us to do something, we can say to him, God says different than this. That's bearing in our body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. One last thing that I'll mention is in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. And you can just listen to this verse of Scripture instead of turning there. But the Word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, He says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." If I'm not suffering persecution, I am not bearing in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you follow the Word of God and the teachings of the Word of God, and you stand where God's Word tells you to stand, if you warn other people when they're walking contrary to God's Word, if you're what you ought to be as a Christian, you're going to suffer persecution. Did Jesus suffer persecution in His life? All during His life, He suffered persecution. And if you are following Christ, you too will suffer persecution. And that's another way that you bear in your body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you really want to be like Jesus? Do you want people to look at your life like this man that I met this past week? And I told another brother in the church that was with me when I met him, I said, "You know, I fell in love with that man." And that's what I did. I fell in love with him because I could see Christ in him just radiating from his life. In every way in his life, he just bore the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be more like Jesus every day in our lives. May God help us to bear in our bodies the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, is my prayer for Christ's sake.